The two other reasons were more traditional, so to speak. The first of these, the second of the three reasons, was what we can call the devaluation of the going for refuge. Now, what do I mean by that? Buddhism has a long history. In the course of 1,000 years, Buddhism has spread, or in the course of 1,000 years, Buddhism did spread over practically the whole of Asia. And millions of people became Buddhists. Millions of people committed themselves to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, recited Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dharmang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. So far, so good. But what eventually happened? Eventually, people started reciting Buddhang Saranang Gacchami and so on simply out of habit. Not because they were real Buddhists, not because they were actually committing themselves, but simply because their parents or their grandparents had recited it. And such people sometimes considered themselves as born Buddhists, as though such a thing were not a contradiction in terms. How could one possibly be a born Buddhist? So this is the situation in the Buddhist countries of Asia today to a great extent. The going for refuge is not regarded any longer as an expression of genuine individual spiritual commitment. It's a recitation which is simply part of one's culture. It shows that you belong to a particular social and cultural group. And I had plenty of experience of this sort of thing in India. I found, for instance, Sinhalese and Thai and Burmese and Indian Buddhists reciting the refuges and the precepts on all sorts of occasions. You have a big public meeting, all right, you begin by reciting the refuges and precepts. You have a wedding, again you recite the refuges and precepts. A funeral, again you recite the refuges and precepts. A name-giving ceremony for a baby, again the refuges and precepts. So people recited in this sort of way, and nobody bothered about the significance. They recited the refuges with the precepts just to show that they were good Buddhists, or even that they were just respectable citizens. They recited them to show that they belonged by birth to a particular religious group. There was no question of the going for refuge formula being regarded as an expression of individual commitment to the ideals of Buddhism, and this is why I speak of a devaluation of the going for refuge. The going for refuge is really the central act of the Buddhist life. After all, it's what makes you a Buddhist. But in popular, modern Buddhism, it has, on the whole, become something peripheral, something formal, and something of purely cultural significance. And this is why it took me such a long time to see that it was on the basis of the going for refuge, on the basis of individual commitment, that a new Buddhist movement must be founded. Because the going for refuge had been so devalued by the Buddhists, inverted commas, themselves, not to say degraded and debased. So far as I can remember, in the course of my whole stay in India, no one ever stressed to me the importance of going for refuge. Some people were indeed very particular about the correct pronunciation of the words of the Pali refuge formula, but they paid no attention to what the words actually meant, and therefore I had to discover the significance of the going for refuge for myself. And as soon as I had done this, I saw its importance. I saw that it was in fact the key to everything, saw that it was the basis of our new Buddhist movement. So in the FWBO, tremendous emphasis is placed on the going for refuge. It's the simplest thing in Buddhism, but it's the most important. And it's things like the going for refuge that we have in mind when we speak in the FWBO of the principle of more and more, of less and less.